see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
What makes a good radio show?
Put moron number two on the phone.
Bit more of what we just heard, but done a lot better.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Everyone feels good, especially when they've got it to 105.1 Triple M style.
Yes, Jimmy, bye.
For 2 hours of the best radio you're going to enjoy. Matt Preston in here.
Oh, yes.
MasterChef's finest. Looking forward to a good friend of ours too. Been a regular on this show for many, many years.
And eats a lot of the product.
He's a very good man. Also got his young bloke and daughter down at Glen Iris and gets his hands on. I like that down there. In the golf square, goal umpiring and stuff, he's a beauty, Matt.
The Gladiators, Jim.
The Gladiators, so looking forward to chatting to Matty shortly. And also midweek rub, Jason Dunstall, Jay-Z Clark.
Ooh.
Well, lots going on too in the world of football. So we've got lots to get through. I've got a question I'm going to get to, not now, but next.
Ooh.
We're going to just get some social media feedback on a question. We're going to drive at the family. But before we do any of that, hello to you, big boy.
Hi, g'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day, you, Leroy.
James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. Those guys should be kicked off the radio.
That makes it it's a bit of Rodney Rood in that,
been,
wasn't it?
It's been said before.
Why should we get kicked off the radio,
sure,
Jim?
Not sure, Bill, but, you know, we take all feedback.
We do.
Most of it positive, so every now and then we throw some of that in just to keep people
honest. We only want the good stuff.
couldn't find any.
Oh, good one. Now, the 10 most inaccurate goal kickers in the AFL. Inaccurate, Jim. Do you know who's on top?
Who?
Alec Fasolo.
Oh.
14 goals, 20 he's kicked this year at 41%. Sean Higgins is second. Can you believe that?
Now, what has happened to that man?
11 goals, 13.
One of the best set shot exponents, or has been, of all time, and then he's just fallen off a cliff.
Marcus Bontempelli is third.
Oh, that's interesting.
Peter Wright, Azorko, Darcy Moore, Cam McCarthy, Dusty Martin at nine, and Mark Lacroix, who's also been a
very good.
So that is interesting, Jim.
Go through ebbs and flows.
Jared Waite's also a special mention there, Jim. 39%.
Oh, what are we doing?
9 goals, 14, Waitey.
What are we doing at North?
Did you watch? Do you remember Vanilla Ice?
Ice, baby.
They played last night in Adelaide, Jim.
Vanilla Ice?
Yes.
We had him on this show.
Did he?
But right back when old Snorkel Tunnicliffe was producing us, we had...
Mr. Ice.
Vanilla Ice, but that's not his name. Mark someone.
Oh, Mr. Ice, he knows.
Yes.
Guess what he wore in Adelaide at the concert? It was the I Love the 90s concert.
Yes.
A Crows jumper. They loved it. They went berserk. So good on you, Mr. Ice.
Old Stop, Collaborate and Listen.
Stop.
We can actually get his... What is his real name?
Robert Matthew Van Winkle.
That's it.
Robert Van Winkle.
Yep.
Who was the famous Van Winkle?
Rip Van Winkle.
Rip. What did he do?
Back in the days of the fable.
Oh.
But anyway, we had him on this show. He was a guest, I reckon, years ago.
Travis Cloke has been spotted at the Melbourne airport as the Bulldogs fly to Sydney, Jim, for tomorrow night's clash.
Yes.
And guess what's going to happen tomorrow night?
What?
Rain, and more bloody rain. Going to be soggy.
Make it hard for him then.
Oh, it's a downpour right there at the minute, Jim. I reckon it rains more in Sydney than Melbourne. There's a good question.
Oh, I see.
I think it does, Jim.
Do you think it does?
I think you'll find there's more days rain in Sydney.
Really?
Than Melbourne.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
I don't believe it.
Speaking of Sydney, Jared McVeigh, injury setback. He's just nearly come towards the end, old Jazza.
He's been a very, very good player.
Very good.
So the end comes to us all, Bill.
Well, some of us could have gone on a bit longer.
Yeah, me too.
Easy. and Forbes, the great magazine, Forbes, have ranked Manchester United as the top dogs in world soccer.
Mm.
They are worth $4.91
billion.
Man U.
Crikey.
$4.91 billion.
Right.
Real Madrid, a second, Jim. Oh, no, they're third, actually. Yeah. Barcelona a second. You had a great story on Barcelona.
Yeah, well, I love how they roll because they are extraordinarily successful, as we know. But they have as their mantra that they not only want to be successful, but they want to play the most entertaining soccer in the world.
In the world.
Yep. So they see success, but they also see entertainment as enormously valuable. They've got UNICEF, I think, on their...
charity.
Yep. So they don't even... They're that rich, they don't even have to sell it to anyone. They actually can put a charity on their top.
They haven't got Ford or Mazda, Jim.
No.
They've got UNICEF.
Yep.
So they probably actually pay UNICEF, I dare say.
Well, they may do.
Yeah.
They may do, Bill, but an amazing story, but as are all of them. I mean, you can throw a blanket over Man U, Barca, and Real Madrid.
Ooh. Man U, Jim, $405 million in advertising and sponsorship revenue.
There you go.
$405 million. Wow,
they've all got their own television stations now. You can see them on Foxtel. Chelsea have as well. Mm. It's nuts what they're doing. They're that big, Bill. They monster our whole competition. Let alone one club, the whole thing.
Mm. And Glenn McFarlane's put together a list, Jim, which
we're
going
to get to that next.
Yes,
because
come on,
old back with a flight Brownless somehow never got in there.
Oh,
we don't really
know why.
We'll find out next. Glenn McFarlane, very good journalist. I'm reading here where he says the following, Bill.
Come on, put.
There's brave, there's crazy brave, then there's Joel Selwood.
Certainly after last Friday when he ran back into a pack.
Hard to think of a footballer who's put his nose into as many perilous situations, sometimes even without needing to, as frequently as the Geelong captain. And then he goes on to list, Glenn, 10 players who were simply too brave for their own good.
Yeah.
Now, as I read down, Joel Selwood, there you are.
Yeah.
John O'Brown, without saying. Glenn Archer, toughest player I ever saw.
Yep.
And Michael Voss, you can say the same thing. James Hurd, extraordinarily courageous.
He was.
The Leonard Hayes.
Oh, Leonard.
Yeah. Gavin Brown, amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Equally as any of them. Gary Wilson, bit before my time, very lightly framed.
Very light. Used to wear a helmet.
He did.
Yep.
And Luke Hodge, we just had in the studio the other day. Nick Riewoldt as well.
Well,
so that's
honourable mention.
Well, this is what I'm saying. They almost picked themselves. So we'll give Glennie those 10. But we thought, surely our man.
Brownless.
Somewhere in the honourable mentions.
Where's old Cat's Head Brownless?
So what we do.
Well, there's a couple others there. Hunter.
Oh, the King Ken Hunter. I can't believe he didn't get into the
Francis
top
10. Burke.
He was ferocious at the
pill. I'll tell you one, Jim. Oh, Gary Hocking. Luckily, he was hard.
Yeah,
he was.
Very hard.
Luke Ball, of course. Jude Bolton. No. Anthony Stevens.
Johnny the Rat Platten.
But I tell you, Jim.
Where is Brownless?
There's only one question to be asked.
Where is he in the honourable mentions?
Oh, Cat's Head Brownless. Why wouldn't I be? Fair enough, in the top 10, Jim. Fair enough, not in there.
Right.
But surely in the honourable mentions, where I used to put my head, where blokes feared.
Now, Bill, what we've done. Social media style.
Yeah.
Tell everyone how you get involved in that, Leroy.
Yep. Twitter and Facebook, just search for Triple M's Rush Hour.
All right. We've asked this question.
Yes.
Bill didn't make it into Macca Herald Sun's 10 bravest players. He also didn't make it into the 10 apologies. And he ain't happy about it.
Jim.
Give us the feedback. Why do you think he didn't make it?
And before everyone else follows suit, Matthew Nolan... 12 minutes ago, Jim. So he's on to it.
He's already on to it. We haven't asked the question yet.
I didn't make it.
Why?
Because he's a soft cock.
Oh!
Come on, Matthew.
Oh, no.
Look at that, Jim. Because.
What are we giving away, please?
We've got the Tradie Underwear Ultimate Toolbox Tradie Pack to give away.
Bill.
Yes.
What's the most courageous thing you ever did?
I knew when Ablett was coming, so I'd never back and back then because you could hear the crowd going Ablett.
That's it.
I did play in the 89 grand final, and that was one of the toughest games ever.
Well, there were.
I played
39 other players that played in that, Bill, so you weren't on your own.
It would have been 15 blokes that couldn't play the next week.
Yep.
But don't worry, I was there. I could have played.
You reckon?
I was fit. I was declared fit. I could have played Sunday, actually, the next day.
All right. Yes. Get online and give us your top response to this question. Why do you think Bill didn't make the top 10 bravest players for Glenn McFarlane? We'll get to them just before 5 o'clock.
From MasterChef, Matt Preston joins us in the studio.
The only one.
No, I'm here to give Billy some fashion tips.
And
what are you wearing?
I'm wearing what a gunslinger would wear in the old West.
Yeah,
I'm wearing
exactly.
A long frock coat with a waistcoat, and for the fuller figured gentleman, a long jacket is very helpful. and it makes your legs look long and skinny, and you can hide your six pack. You've bolted to your legs.
And that little undercoat, as you said.
I got a little waistcoat. Which
but it's all in blue, aren't you supposed to mix it around a bit?
Look, I could do, but I'm wearing a blue shirt, so
I'm green cravat or whatever you call it.
That's a scarf, mate. It's got tassels. It's just an ordinary scarf. You see, there you are. People laugh at me for the cravat, but when I wear a scarf, they go, It's, you see, it's just a bit of material, whether it's inside or outside the shirt. That's the only difference.
And you've got a beard, and it's grey.
Yeah, yeah.
You're looking like Santa.
Santa or Colonel Sanders. I don't know which one I am, but they both bring joys in their own different ways.
It does look like you could hitch that coat around behind the six shooters and just stand out in the middle of the street.
Well, can you not see Billy striding out to do halftime entertainment down at the Cattery? That beautiful new ground. It needs a new Billy, doesn't it?
I can see that. You know, I can see you wearing that actually, Fat.
I'm going to try it out. Though.
Can you? But you could wear an all blue one, and then you could have a blue and white hooped waistcoat.
They make you look bigger, the hoops.
Apparently. Well, that, do I look fat in that? No, your fat makes you look fat in that. I think it's a line.
Hey, Maddie, last time I saw you, you were wearing a different coat. I reckon you had the white coat on as the goal umpire down at Glen Iris.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I was. We had a style off. Me and a famous Melbourne chef called Andrew Blake was down the other end at the other goals. He was wearing his pink tartan pants and a furry Kangle hat, and I was wearing my white Smurf beanie, a white t-shirt in the rain with my white. Obviously, what I wanted to do was take my Carhartt jacket off, because obviously me and the Carhartt jacket both don't fit under one of the standard white goalkeepers. And it was a torrid affair. In the first quarter we had a touch, we had off various goalposts. It's a lot of pressure when you're a goal umpire for the under 12 girls.
The other bit of pressure that interests me is the beautiful women at Glen Iris, of course, and men who look after the bacon and egg rolls, Bill. $5 each, and I'll tell you what, they are absolutely magnificent.
How many does old Matty Boy go through?
That wasn't the pressure.
Yes,
it's more when a MasterChef judge walks up to buy a bacon and egg roll. They must be wondering what the hell they mean.
You know what it is? You know, I do ask for a fresh egg. I say, make us an egg. But isn't that not one of the great joys? About spending your Sunday travelling to, St Mary's or Park Orchards or Banyule or Beaumaris or wherever you go, that every club has a different thing they do.
Yep.
So you might go here. You know when you go here that the pies are fantastic. Yeah. You have that. You know that the steam dimmies are really good at this clubhouse.
Hamburgers with their gravy.
Yeah, the hamburgers with the gravy. I think it's Ashburton does a really good soup, which makes you feel very virtuous, which is different from the normal fried stuff that we normally ingest. But I think that's it is one of the great things. This Sunday when it was foggy, and you've got. You know, because nowadays, in the old days, the coffee would be pretty ratchet. But nowadays, pretty much every football club's got a decent barista making coffee. So you have a good coffee, egg and bacon roll. You're watching your kids play footy. You're in the fresh air. Mm. You might even be involved in terms of being a goal umpire. My favourite one is umpire escort, because I like the orange looks good with my eyes first thing on a Sunday morning.
Umpire escort.
And I just think there's something very good about that. I've got to say. Look, I'm a Collingwood fan, and I've enjoyed some of the games. I've hated some of the others, but the joy that I get out of watching, my daughter play in the ruck is far greater than even watching Mr.
No, it's gone.
You've got right into this Glen Iris Gladiators, haven't you? My
wife might be, on the committee kind of thing. I've kind of been dragged in there.
Have you seen Jim prading around?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's incredibly low profile.
Yeah, very.
You know, he's not like Luke Darcy, who's down there, just
swanning around.
Being the legend he is, the nicest man at the club. God, why is he so nice?
He is nice.
He's lovely. It's really annoying.
And you parade around too, though. Look at me, look at me.
No.
In your big jackets and things?
I do wear a certain amount of Carhartt, but it's because it's chilly, mate. I like to stay warm and look like I might be doing about to do a bit of angle grinding.
And keep the egg and bacons in stock, Jim.
Well, it's important.
How many would you have on a Sunday morning?
Look, only one. No, because my wife's down there. So if I'm maybe doing the run up to someone like St Mary's, I might have a couple. Because I know I can get out there. I can get out the beard soon enough. But yeah. No, it's all about appreciating good food.
Yeah.
That thing we learned at MasterChef, it doesn't matter whether it's a fancy chef restaurant or whether it's Yotamot Lingi's on the show at the moment.
Or
doing something delicious and vegetarian, which makes you think vegetables are as good as meat. Strange but true. Or whether it's a really good dimmy. There's joy to be had in even the most basic food. That's the whole point.
All right, Matty, stick around. We need to talk MasterChef next. Massive things happening on this star of a show.
From MasterChef, 7:30 tonight, Matt Preston's still with us.
A little Middle Eastern, the show. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah.
One word, Otto Lingi.
Otto Lingi. Well, that sounds like two words, doesn't it? Otto Lingi, the German Middle Eastern chef. Otto Lingi. Yeah, Jotam Otto Lingi. 3 million cookbooks sold. He basically does delis. He's a champion of vegetables. And tonight's challenge is all about one thing. It's about persuading meat eaters, including some of the great barbecue kings of the US who were out when we were filming for the barbecue festival, persuading them that vegetables can be as delicious and filling and wonderful as meat. And it's a big ask. Yeah. And that's one of Yotam's kind of the chosen things to champion. And our guys do some amazing food that makes you think, I could do that over a steak, maybe.
Surely not. You could not cook vegetarian for diehard meat eaters. It wouldn't work.
Maybe it's a one-off. You wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
every
you know what? You know what it is. I think there's you eat pudding, and there's no meat in that. So straight away, you're half a vegetarian.
Yeah, there you go.
But like, I think when you actually, there's this whole thing that not. The number of people who are actually vegetarian, don't eat any meat, hasn't increased a lot. But the number of people who eat a mainly vegetarian diet, so, you know, you might be eating pasta, you know, a carbonara, there's a bit of bacon in there, but you're like, so it's no longer meat as the centerpiece. It's dramatically increasing. And that, I think there's 26% of people now say they eat a mainly vegetarian diet. I think the thing we've discovered, we've done a challenge like this before, the great thing about it is you assume that you know the guys who've got these big beefy sort of tradey guys,
yeah.
You know that they're just going to be all about you know a chunk of cow and a fire, and they're actually you know that's not the way Australians eat across the board. You know they might want a bit of quinoa, you know, not every day, but
kale.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, kale, I'm not so sure about. But I think, but silver beet, thing of great beauty.
Yeah.
You know, roast carrots. You know, who doesn't like it? When you go that Sunday roast, tell me what's your favourite thing.
Peas. Jeez. I love peas.
The peas, the crunchy roast potatoes, the roast pumpkin. Yep. Like, you know,
and crackle.
And crackle and the gravy. And you can probably leave the meat out of it, you know. And so what you got, 80% of that is 85% of that is actually is vegetables. Mm, and then it's the meat as flavouring in that gravy and the crackle.
Matty, I couldn't agree with you anymore. I went to a restaurant a while back, I have to say. It was about two or three months ago. And nothing on the menu really jumped out at me except for the beetroot salad. So I just said, sod it, I'm just going to have that.
And it
was magnificent.
And I think that's the thing. I think, you know, meat tends to be meat is meat, but beetroot can be candied, it can be a puree, it can be smoked, it can be roasted, it can, you know, there's so much you can do with it. Well, look at the potato.
Yeah.
You know, the potato can be mash, it can be gnocchi, it can be chips, it can be roast potatoes, it can be crushed potatoes. It kind of goes on and on and on, the great beauty of the vegetable. And so I think we can, you know, it's nice to have someone who's willing to stand up and say, this is the way. I don't think it'll ever replace, you know, I'm never going to give up.
No, I'm with you.
You know.
Well, we're in the middle of the week, of course, the Middle Eastern week on MasterChef, by the way. Make sure you're watching, 7:30 on the 10 Network.
Otto Lingy, Jim.
Otto Lingy, thank you, Bill.
He's three words of advice, Jim, are flavour, flavour, and flavour.
Yeah, you see, we paid him by the word, and that was one word. It was great to say it three times. That's good. Well done. You've done good, guys.
What else is coming up on the show, please?
Oh, well, we're off to Northern Victoria. Which is fantastic. Nice. So we put Heston on a bus with our contestants. We take them up to Swan Hill to film by the banks of the Murray, which was beautiful, great location.
Good pub there.
Very good pub there. Yeah. Then, but not as good as the pub in Brim, because we then went to the Brim, to the silos at Brim.
Oh,
beautiful
where
silos.
Where the drawings are.
Where the paintings are. They cooked in front of that. Yeah. Windy. I obviously managed to kick the footy over the silos.
Yeah. Yeah,
I understand it. Everyone does that now.
Exactly right.
Kicked it over you.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, well, they kicked it around me, it'd be harder. We ended up in the salt flats outside of Mildura. So that was a really good trip. And then from there, how can you top the North Victoria? We went to Japan. So we took them there. So there's some really cool stuff to come and some really good food and, you know, real stuff you want to eat.
Japanese food there?
We did eat a bit of Japanese. We had a lot of ramen, a lot of noodle soups. We also ate we ate some interesting stuff there.
Mm.
Some stuff maybe I don't want to see again. A bit challenging, but also some delicious stuff as well.
We look forward to all of that coming up. As I said, MasterChef on the 10 Network, 7:30 PM. Get stuck into that, Matty. Always great to see you.
Sweet to see you both, boys.
Go Gladiators.
James Brayshaw and not so courageous Brownless.
We're going to get to that shortly. I'll tell you, have they come for that?
Crikey.
Everywhere, Bill.
You put a line out there, Jim.
Oh no. They're jumping into the boat. They don't even need a hook or any bait or anything. Now, Bill.
Oh, yes, Jim.
I need to confess to something here.
Oh, no.
I need to apologise.
Oh.
Because back in the day, when I was at school, like you would have been the same, I used to look at people playing hockey. Ooh, as no in geez. Field hockey, Bill.
You'd never looked at them.
Bill.
Jim.
You'd look at them and you'd think, they're only playing that game because they're no good at anything else.
At cricket, footy.
They can't play any of those sports.
Exactly.
So they play field hockey. Hold on. Like, seriously. Field. That's how condescending I was to people who played that game.
Remember, it used to be hockey one, hockey,
hockey
two.
Hockey one, rah, 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 and all
hockey
that.
Hockey two, hockey three.
Click the sticks in the middle and all the rest of it.
Oh, and they walk around with their sticks.
Yeah. You just look at them and go, but you're doing that because there's not any other sport on the roster
that's
at
it,
this
Jim.
Joint you can possibly play.
Spot on.
So I comfortably had that opinion of them, Bill, for years.
So what are you? What are you?
Well, then, for a charity thing years later, I agreed to play a 10-minute game of field hockey.
Yeah.
They were raising funds for, you know, Children's Hospital or whatever. I said, yeah, all right. I was still playing cricket at the time, so I thought, well, at least I'll be athletic enough to run around enough and poxy bloody sport and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Bill,
yes.
10 minutes later, I left the field with appreciation.
Why?
A hell of a lot harder than I thought it was.
Oh. Anything.
A hell of a lot harder.
Why?
Well, because controlling the bloody ball with a poxy little stick and dribbling around for a start.
Yeah.
Secondly, the fitness required.
You've got to run, yeah.
And
yeah.
the skill of actually directing the ball anywhere where you want it to go. Mm. I left at the end, and I must admit, Bill, I sat in my chariot driving home.
Thinking.
I'm apologising now
to
all of those people that played hockey back in the day that I sort of snarled at.
Yep.
Now I know that it was actually a bloody hard game. And a fit, you had to be very fit to play it, so I had to do that.
Yep.
I had to be man enough to look in the rearview mirror just after I'd had a look anyway, Bill, to see what I was presenting to society.
Oh, you would have been looking at yourself.
And say, that was poor.
Fair enough. Good on you. That is good, Jim.
Did that ever happen to you?
Actually, well, just remember then, surfers. You know, surfing.
Yeah, like John, my oldest bloke who loves it.
You drive around the Great Ocean Road, you go, what are those flogs doing sitting on their boards out there? What, there must be something pops up out there, Jim, or does something.
Yes.
Fair dinkum. So I tried it one day.
Yeah, with hockey.
With hockey.
Up in bloody...
When I did me hammy.
Oh!
Remember that? I couldn't hardly get out, Jim.
Snapper rocks.
No, snapper rocks. I nearly snapped me hammy.
Oh, fool's head went out. You lasted 10 seconds.
Because, Jim, it's bloody harder than it looks.
It is, Bill.
One, I couldn't hardly get out there, but two... I had no chance of getting up.
No.
Old Fat couldn't get up.
No chance.
So well done to the surfers out there. Yeah. And then they make it look so easy, Jim, on the
especially,
TV.
Especially Ock.
Oh, Ock, he did, yeah.
He took an enormous amount of piss.
I snap me hand.
I do, Bill. I remember. And all I remember is Old Fat walking off. And we had about 8 boards and a whole lot of gear to take back to this truck. And Bill's just taken off.
Oh, Jim.
So the rest of us have had to do about 9 trips to cart all the stuff back.
I'll tell you what else is that we should apologise. Cooking, putting together a roast and bringing it all together. That's bloody hard, Jim.
I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
The women in my life, they all have cooked brilliantly. So I've been able to just sit there and enjoy it when it gets presented. Well, my mum for a start. Oh, Joni still is a magnificent cook. So I grew up in a house
where my mum
cooked beautifully. And then my wife cooked beautifully.
Very good.
And my current partner cooked beautifully. So, Bill, I'm very fortunate in that sense.
What a roast
because,
pork.
Because if it came to doing it myself.
Oh, no, it's bloody hard. Jim, I did try
it once. I would not be doing it.
Once. No good, me. So, that's good. Well done to the hockey players out there,
well,
Jim.
Bill, I do need to apologise to them because for years I thought you were only doing that because you're no bloody good at anything else. I still half think that. Come on, Bill. Next. We're getting this feedback because I tell you now.
Stop bloody
they
resenting
have it. Come from everywhere. Top 5 next. Answers to the question. Why wasn't Bill in Glenn McFarlane's top 10 most courageous players in the history of football?
Fat McFarlane, come on.
And we asked this question right off the top. Social media gets stuck into it, of course.
Yes, Jim.
Glenn McFarlane's 10 most courageous players ever. Players simply too brave for their own good.
Yep.
Joel Selwood all the way through to Nick Riewoldt with Archer, Brown, sort of Brown times two, Voss. Unbelievable.
Brown, Brownless.
And then, of course, honourable mentions.
Yes.
And there are another 10 of them with Paul Kelly in there from the Swans.
Kenny
my mate
Hunter.
Niall just sending me a text before saying, where was Paul Kelly? Well, he was in there. So was the King Ken Hunter. Unbelievable.
Border Hocking.
Oh, yeah. Tough, that man. Greg Williams, tough. Anthony Stevens. Anyway, the question we asked was, why wasn't our man Brownless?
Cat's head Brownless.
Why wasn't he? Not only in the top 10, he wasn't in the apologies either.
Come on, McFarlane.
Why do you think he didn't make it was the question we asked the Rush Hour family. Yeah, Bill.
And it started early, Jim.
Go on.
12 minutes before we asked that question, Matthew Nolan said because he's a softcock.
Softcock, yep. Mm-hmm. And then was there anything positive in there at all for you?
Well done, Spin City Music 3.
Right.
Billy was too busy being a decoy for Ablett. He sacrificed legendary status for the team. Well done to you, Spin City Music 3. I like that one, Jim.
And any others before Billy, I get going with the top five?
James Holt, Billy, you're not cat's head, Brownless. You're fool's head, Brownless.
Yeah, well, that's, and we know and, that, of course.
Oh, Brendan said Bill was used to running the other way. So there you go, Jim. Right. Let's kick you off now.
Well, let's get the top five because I'll tell you, I've been given about 15 pages of people who've come for it. So fair to say, they've all wanted to have their say. But Nathan Patrick, of course, half positive this one.
Yeah.
Bill was in the top 10 after the siren goals. They couldn't have him in too many lists, says Nath.
Oh, good. So I like that. Well done, Nath. I like that one. Yes, that's it.
And then I get down to Nick Hill, a nick of time. Old no mention Brownless would have bravely smashed into a pack if there were a few potato cakes at the bottom.
He's actually all right, nick of time. All He's right. quite funny.
Sam Tyler, Tyler Sam 05. Bill's the reason they put fences around ovals. Hashtag softcock. As we get down to number two.
Oh, well, we, Jim.
And that's Brad Harridan, who says, between talking about Joel Selwood and cutting your park, Bill's going to be lifting the desk up shortly. Hashtag get wood.
Joel, get him up here.
But Robbie Brackensack, I probably haven't pronounced that correctly, but anyhow, here we go. After that hit on Buchanan, he should be at number 100.
When I karate chopped him.
You gave him a bunny chop.
I did.
And then sort of gave up on it halfway through.
I tried to pull it, Jim, I was committed.
Like a decelerating chip on the golf course. You just sort of stopped halfway through.
Didn't play for 3 weeks.
No. Well, we like that, Bill.
Plenty of feedback, Jim.
I think it was.
They're there.
Not a lot of it... not a lot of it at all that positive, no. No. I think I got called flog, sure. Somewhere.
Yeah, you got there. Flog, here. This is Graham, and very serious Grahamy. Come on, Grahamy.
Grahamy LeBroy.
He said maybe because he wasn't good enough, that'd be me.
That's it.
Just like Flogshaw. Not bad. Trying to play for Australian cricket.
That's it, Bill.
Oh, come on,
we
Grahamy.
Like it. A little bit kicking around. A Champions Trophy Willis in the United Kingdom. Basically, before you get onto the game that's just been played, Australia must beat England to remain alive.
That's right.
Even though we haven't completed a game yet.
Yes, we've had two washouts, Jim, and luckily England defeated New Zealand, so they are out. So if we beat England, we go into second.
Yep. That's it. England, of course, 310 from their 49.3 overs with Joe Root, 64. Joss Butler, very nice hitter of the foot of the cricket ball. Yeah. Joss Butler, 61, of course. And then Kane Williamson, who's in this discussion, Willis, the best players in the world as we speak, made 87 for New Zealand. Very, very, very rarely misses out.
Very good. And it was a touching moment in that game, England-New Zealand, Jim. Tim Southey, the New Zealand quick, was bowling midway through the seventh over of the English innings. The two teams lined up to join a nation's minute silence at 11 a.m. So both teams, minute silence at 11 a.m, of course, for what happened in the London terror attack.
Yep, Bruce Oxenford and Pistol Paul Rifle, a big smoking loping pistola, they also joined, so it was good. Everyone stopped. And so they should, Bill. So well done to everyone
done.
So the Aussies now must beat England. It'll be a massive game.
When's that game, Jim?
What happens if that gets rained out?
We get 3 points. That might...
So get through anyway. K-Mac nodding his head. So he's telling us if that game were to be rained out, imagine getting through to what would that
three
be, the semis, having not finished a game. That'd be fair going. In my day, Bill, if the rain started.
You just played?
Straight to the bar.
Did you?
Yep.
No.
Oh, Bill. Especially if you had a look at the radar and you thought it's comprehensive enough. That'll do.
That'll do. You've got to have a good look at the radar.
Oh, of course you do.
Speaking of going to the bar, Jim, I like this story out. The Stanley Cup, of course, is going over there, and some boys from Nashville got together.
Ice hockey.
Speaking of ice hockey. Yep. And Nashville boys got together. I think there was only four of them, Jim. They didn't get tickets to the game. It was in Nashville. So they thought they'd go to a bar, Ripley's.
Yep.
So they went at 11 a.m, Jim, when it opened, and stayed until the end.
Oh.
The tab. 93 Coors Lights.
No way.
93 Coors Lights.
What?
10 Miller Lights, 10 Bud Lights, and patron shots, whatever they are, and a heap of food. It's not a bad bill. They're a $1,200 bill, but 93 Coors Lights and 10 Miller Lights for only four of them.
I remember
that's a good effort.
Years ago, we had Johnny Knoxville. Is he from Jackass? Knoxville?
Yeah.
Came in, and he said that on American radio, he'd floated the idea that of the big four sports,
yes.
In other words, Major League Baseball, basketball, NFL, and, of course, NHL,
yes.
He had floated the idea that the champions team had to insert the winning trophy up the old back passage. And he said, we had takers from all the sports except the NHL.
Have you Stanley seen Cup the size is the biggest the cup. Cup. Mate, they present it to him, they can't lift it.
Can't pick the bloody thing up, Bill. It's a metre long.
It is the biggest cup ever. All right. Is it like the Championship Cup?
I don't think so, Bill. No, that might be not as big. Now, listen, I've got something to confess next, and I ain't particularly proud of it.
Jeez, you're confessing.
Now, Bill.
What have you done?
I had this article sent to me, and it's about the best man at a wedding. I think it's in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And he got halfway through doing his job as the best man.
Yeah.
And then the moment sort of latched onto him. So he basically grabbed his girlfriend. Out of the crowd at the wedding, while he was doing his own speech as the best man, got down on bended knee and proposed to his girlfriend at his best mate's wedding.
At someone else's wedding, Jim.
At someone else's wedding, just completely stole the show. So as you know, the wedding's all about the bride, mainly in the groom, or the bride's getting nice and if anyone tries to take any focus. Anyway, best man's up there speaking. And then decided that was the right time to propose to his wife-to-be.
Wowee.
I know, Bill.
Geez, she likes her feed.
So, Willis, what I thought there with that particular one was that that is very memorable.
Very.
Very memorable.
Well, you won't forget that, Jim, if you're in the crowd. You went along to someone else's wedding and you'll probably go to another one.
So that's very memorable, Bill.
Oh,
my
so
own.
Is not so.
No.
What, the wedding?
And you could probably understand maybe why things in the end might have fallen away a touch, because my own proposal, Bill.
Not off to a great start.
My own proposal, and it hence 133353 style.
Yeah.
Is disappointing marriage proposal.
Oh, no.
Bill.
Jim.
I'm halfway through the 1989 women's Wimbledon final.
Wimbledon.
Steffi Graf and Martina Navratilova.
What, you're sitting up there watching it?
Watching telly
with
in
Mrs.
Perth.
B.
Well,
one.
She wasn't Mrs. B at the time.
Sorry.
Three setter.
Three setter.
6-2, 7-6, 6-1, Bill.
Yes.
And the break of sets.
Break of sets. No, you did not.
Bill.
Jim.
Bill.
Didn't you plan it?
I'm putting my hand up. Hi.
That's disappointing.
That's a disappointing marriage proposal, Bill.
Didn't you plan something romantic?
It wasn't my finest moment.
Oh.
I will put my hand high.
Yeah.
So, hence 133353.
Oh, no.
We're going the other way, which is what we do on the rush hour. If you are guilty or you know someone who's guilty of a very disappointing marriage proposal, if you can top mine for a disappointing proposal.
I hope the next one's better, Jim.
Ring us now, 133353.
Confessions, Brayshaw.
Oh, exactly.
I've had to cleanse. I've had to cleanse to the people that pay field hockey.
Jeez, Jim.
Because I always used to think they were no bloody good, and then I tried it myself and realised it's actually a hard game.
Well, Miss Bugsley said that, 87, Jim.
Mm.
Is it rush hour or Jim's confession hour?
No, well, I needed to cleanse. And then, of course, I had this amazing story about the best man halfway through his speech decided to propose to his own new missus in the wedding, completely stole the show. So that's memorable, whereas my own wasn't as good, Bill.
No. Well, just, it was, Jim.
During the set break in the women's Wimbledon final 1989.
Oh.
Just at home.
Jim, it was a start, Jim.
I would have thought I was better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I actually wasn't.
Julie Carter said, surely Adam Cooney takes a cake with his burger ring.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, Richard's in Geelong, Bill. Get us underway.
Dickie boy.
How are you, gents?
Good, mate. What happened with you?
We were out at the jewellery store in the good old Westfield in Geelong, Mrs. tried on a ring. She said, oh, this is quite nice. And I said, oh, we'll take that. And the lady behind the counter said, are you engaged? And I said, well, I guess we are.
Oh, that's it.
And that was it?
That was it, yep.
Oh, Duff the jeweller's in there, was it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Well, I guess we're engaged.
Yeah, I guess we're engaged.
Yeah.
All right. Stay there. Sue's on the line. Hey, Sue.
Hi, boys. How are you?
Susie,
what happened with you?
Well, funnily enough, on this day back in 1989, my husband proposed to me after my dog died.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What do you mean?
My dog had been hit by a car and killed, and then I was having this great big huge crying fit the next day about it's not fair, and he said to me, will you do me a favour?
Oh.
And I'm like, mate, I'm so devastated.
Oh,
and I said, what? And he said, will you marry me? And I said, are you serious?
And?
And 20, and this year we'll have been married 26 years.
Oh, well, all's well that ends well, Sue.
You'll be married 28 years, Sue. Get the numbers.
Oh, no, we've been... No, 20. We got married in 91. Engaged. We got engaged in 89, Bill. Come on now.
Sorry, Jill. Thank you, Bill. Sorry, you got engaged 28 years ago.
Brendo's on the line, eh, Brendan?
Mickle. G'day, boys. How are we?
Hey, Brendo.
Now, I've got a mate who's not real bright and very lazy back in WA. So he decided to get his engagement ring and pop it in the beer fridge behind a frothy. And said to Mrs., can you probably go and get me a nice cold one? Twisted her arm eventually and pulled the can out and seen this ring there. She went ape dropping. Very unhappy.
Oh, but she said yes?
No. Said no, and I think that was the beginning of the end.
Wow, just had it behind a frothy chip.
Brendo's describing mate as not very smart and very lazy. I thought he was talking about you there for a second, Bill. Nadine's on the line from Shep.
Oh, Nadzi.
How you going?
Good. What happened, Nat?
So my now ex-husband.
Oh, right.
I'll start with that. We were in a bit of financial difficulty and we were speaking to a lawyer and the lawyer said, oh, you know, if you were married, it'd probably, you know, a lot better for you. Mm-hmm. So we went home and about half an hour later, we were standing in front of the fridge and my ex-husband said, so do you reckon we should get married? And that was his proposal.
Oh,
in front of the
on.
Fridge at home.
In front of the fridge.
Not even down on one knee.
Well, you said yes, I'm assuming.
Hence, ex-husband.
Hence.
Beautiful stay there. Greg's in Lara. We're talking about disappointing proposals here, Greg.
How you going, fellas?
Good, mate.
That's the way. It's my father-in-law, actually. He's Mrs. now.
Yeah.
He was playing lawn bowls. And he was about to bowl, and he turned around, threw the ring in his missus in a box, and said, "Here, cop this."
Cop this.
And that was it. Cop this.
And she said to him, "If this is what I think it is, you get down on your bloody knee and you propose to me like a real man."
And did he?
He did.
You are. Cop this. Now, Bill, you can't get any more Australian than that.
Cop this.
Phil's in Melton. Phil.
How you going, boys? I went down to Brighton Pier to propose to the missus only a year ago now.
Yeah.
And my mate calls me and goes, "Hey, I'm at Black Rock. I just picked up my new $100,000 boat. You want to go fishing?" I put the ring in her hand and go, "There you go. We're engaged. I'm going to Black Rock," and left her there to have a coffee with her friends.
Oh, that's no good.
And you're married now, Phil, or still engaged?
Yeah, but she brings it up every time someone asks us. Oh, how about a guy? She goes, "He threw the ring in my hand and went fishing."
There we are.
Went fishing.
That's disappointing.
It's a classic old sign, gone fishing.
Kerry's in Geelong. Kez?
Keza.
G'day. I've been living with this man for about 3 years. We went to a party. We split up. We got together again at a Christmas function. Went to the old Escalation nightclub.
Oh, no. Escos.
Yeah, had one or ten. And we went outside up the back laneway behind Escalation and he proposed to me.
Oh, the laneway behind a nightclub.
The laneway. Yep. Behind Esco's there.
Yeah, just down James Street there.
Oh, I reckon you'd hoped for better, Kez.
No.
Got married on the Friday between cricket and football finishing. And got divorced in the middle of a footy season about... 5 years ago.
All right, Kez.
Oh, that laneway.
A lot of moving on, Kez.
That laneway's still there, Jim. Few things would have happened in that laneway, Jim.
Christian from Manor Lakes. Christo?
Yeah, here you go, lads.
What happened?
I was on the, took the Dale for a drive down around St Kilda there.
Yes.
Had it cleaned up, nice dinner and that, all the trimmings on the beach. We get halfway, she complains it's a bit cold.
Oh.
So I'd already forked out a couple hundred to set that up, and I just quietly cracked the shits and said, "Rightio, we'll go home."
Oh no!
And tipped a couple of frothies in and said, "Rightio, can you come out the front?" Put her in the boat on the front lawn at the old joint.
Put her in the boat.
And just said, "What do you reckon? Here you go." She was all excited about it, and then about an hour and a half after that, my mate rings up, "Can you come round and put your goddaughter swing set together for us?"
Oh, no.
No, I said, "Well, you know what?" I said, "You've got your ring, you ruined my start, and I'm off to go and do that."
Oh, we're still together, Chris?
Yeah, no, all still good. Yeah,
he's still in the boat?
Yeah, three little spouts running around, mate, so it's all good.
I'd already tipped a couple hundred into that.
And put her, took her out the front lawn, Jim, and put her in the boat.
Come on, Bill. I'm suddenly I'm feeling better about
Jim,
myself.
Jim, I'll tell you what, yours is magnificent.
Duncan's in Crampon. Hello, Dunk.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Mate, we're talking disappointing marriage proposals here.
Yeah, I had a bit of a build-up one, so I decided to take the missus. I thought maybe we could go to the zoo, and I thought maybe the butterfly house might be a beautiful spot to do it.
So I
go into the butterfly house, and it's all nice, and I go down, and I'm about to hop the ring out of the bag, and then all of a sudden it's little kids running around, and the kid ran right in between us and stuff. Well, I'm like, well, this isn't going to work, so maybe I'll go to one of the nice grass areas at the zoo, just sit down there, and we'll do it there.
Yep.
And then it starts pouring down with rain, you know, typical Melbourne day. So I'm like, so we can't do it here. And then as we kind of run into like one of the little huts near the elephants there, I'm like, oh, this will be a nice spot. We're alone then. Then everyone starts piling in because it's raining outside. So that didn't really work. Gee, wow. So I'm like, all right, stuff this. We'll go home. So then later that night, we're just having a bit of dinner and the missus is cooking us up some lovely nachos, which is going all right.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, if I don't get to do it now, it's going to be weeks before I get to do it. So I just, got down and turned her around and proposed to her right there.
In front of the nachos.
Yeah, in front of the nachos.
No butterflies.
No butterflies. No nice grass. Picnic or anything like that.
No elephant.
Oh, I love it. All right.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
They come from everywhere.
It's a beauty.
This is the Midweek Rub.
AEG Power Tools. Now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
The very best in the business, AEG Power Tools, and they allow us to bring the best in the business into this studio on a Wednesday. Jay-Z Clark, one of the fine journalists kicking around this town, and also does great work for Triple M Footy. Hello to you, Jay-Z.
Hello, JB. Seems like all the some of the big guns of Triple M are on holidays up in Queensland. Got Duck in Bali, Roosie, Port Douglas. Where are you guys going?
Fair dinkum. We keep grinding away. And the Chief, of course, is here, a former Hawthorn superstar. Hello,
Good
Chief.
Afternoon, one and all. Bill doesn't take holidays. Bill gets the job done.
Yeah. Exactly right, Chief. I'm glad you've noticed, because old holidays over there, fair dinkum, can he have one?
What we did off the top of this show, I'm just ignoring that, Chief. Off the top of the show, we talked about getting the social media involved, the family. We asked them the question, Bill, this is Glenn McFarlane, by the way, wrote a very nice article, top 10 players who are simply too brave for their own good.
Yep. Oh, pudding
and
guts.
And, of course, Joel Selwood's in there, John O'Brown, Glenn Archer, all the way down, Nick Riewoldt, all superstars that should be there.
They pick themselves, don't they?
They do, those 10. And then the apologies, the King Ken Hunter, who I thought was very unlucky not to be in the top 10. But then Francis Burke, Kevin Murray, Johnny the Rat Platten, who played with you.
Buddha Hocking.
Stevens, Paul Kelly, Buddha Hocking. So anyway.
There's a noticeable omission.
Well, we asked the family why Bill wasn't even in the apologies, let alone in the top 10 for players too courageous for their own good. Your thoughts?
Well, you got to understand a few things about Bill and a bit of background context.
Righto.
Bill didn't necessarily like night games because the lights cast lots of shadows. That created problems for Bill. Let's be honest.
I was a decoy, I know. Didn't see your name there. By the way,
it's all right, mate, it's all right. Just played an honest game.
Honest.
Yeah,
just
honest.
Lead
honest
out.
Is a good way to describe what I played.
Mark on your chest, kick goal.
Took a few of them.
Honest. Get off the ground once.
That's right.
Honest.
You got off the ground a couple of times.
I did when I had dog. I could jump.
Yeah.
Jump fences, back fences, everything.
Oh, no.
Out bedroom windows.
Where is he at, Bill? Where is he at? Hey, Jay-Z, you do a very nice thing every week with Scott Pendlebury.
Yes.
And I understand something snuck out of that.
Well, I asked him just before who he likes in the media, his favourite callers, special commentators, and this is what he had to say.
Who's your favourite commentator?
I like Jason Dunstall.
Oh,
he's very astute. He's very realistic, and you can tell he's very, very intelligent when he talks. I really love listening to him.
Oh, there you go, Chief.
Chief. What is that, Chief?
I don't know. I'll have to slip him something while I see him.
You do know the rules. That's what I like about you. You know the rules. When something comes up and everyone's going, oh, I can't do that, can't do you, at least you know the rules. So well done, Chief.
But you don't know the rules?
Well, I never. Have you ever read the rule book?
Oh, no. It's what you pick up throughout the game,
but
Bill, and you see the changes.
I know.
And you need to keep abreast of them. You got to have some idea.
You probably should, Bill.
I haven't read the rule book, it's fair to say.
I don't think anyone has.
No. Hey, why do they travel so well? Did he tell you that? Do they travel well?
Yeah, Buckley hasn't won in Perth previously, so they were due to win in Perth.
But
he did open up. I think table tennis challenges were the main thing to come out. So some guys don't like to watch the footy on the Friday night. So Scotty sort of says they have like this two-hour table tennis marathon where they just sweat up and lather up and smash each other on the ping pong table. They also watch the girls, I think, play netball. But I think generally speaking, some of the boys bring an Xbox. They like to play their video games. He says that gets very competitive. But otherwise, just the table tennis tournament seems to be the...
You're right, Bill. They've done bloody well. I reckon over the last 10 years, the Melbourne clubs, they would have travelled as well, if not better than any of them. Collingwood, they've got a happy knack of winning on the road. Gary Ablett, what's he doing next year, Chief?
I don't know, to be brutally honest. You've got to think he wants to come back and wants to play for Geelong. Certainly wants to come back to Melbourne. He tried to do it last year. We know that. Or he at least sounded them out, I think, a genuine sounding out.
Yep.
I don't know... And look, I'm. This is only an opinion. I have no inside knowledge whatsoever, and I don't want to offend anyone. But I'm not sure Geelong are as keen as Gary is to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lovely romance about it all happening.
Yes, there is.
But you've also got to be practical about keeping the team ethos and managing everything that you do. And, you know, that can get overshadowed when someone like Gaz returns to Geelong. It's like the Messiah, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
it is. Exactly. Messiah.
So I just reckon there'd be a lot of things that need to happen for it to be a smooth transition.
Mm. Hutchie Jay-Z, who can cast a wide net. Let's just slide that in there. Yeah. But has said that the deal's essentially done. A late trade pick.
Well, I don't think the Cats want to give up anything good for him.
Well,
so
they've already given up a fair bit good, haven't they, to get hold of what they got with Danger and Henderson.
Yes.
And Tui.
So I think they're sort of thinking third or fourth round pick if he's only going to play for potentially one or more two
How
seasons.
How much would
they
pay him? That's the other thing.
Oh, it's got 400, 450 grand, I think, maximum. And he'd have to play forward mostly.
He would.
Wouldn't he?
He'd play forward.
And he would kick snags, Bill.
Forward, mid. But Chief might be right too, because they've got to have a look at it. And they don't want to give up a young kid because they haven't got a lot of young kids. So they don't want to do that. You don't want to upset the team balance because everything's going all right. So it'd be a very interesting call.
The issue
what
is
would you
contract.
Prefer to happen, Bill? If you're in charge, what would your decision
be? Well, I'm a romantic, as you know. And I'd like to see him play at Geelong. But as long as he's not on too much money, which I don't think he will be, and we just fit him in there somewhere and he plays these last 2 years at the Cats. That would be a nice way to finish. Having said that, round 23 this year, the Cats play the Giants at Simmons Stadium under lights, it looks like, on a Friday night. And Stevie J might play in that game, and that'd be his last probably home and away game.
We'd have to play on that. I mean, there is some debate at the moment as to whether Stevie's in their best 22. And with so many injuries, you think he gets a look in. But as they get those players back, it's not that clear, but you would think in that game, everything going well, and it looks like that'll be the Friday night game. GWS are sitting on top of the ladder at the moment. They like to reward the top sides with that extra break, although he's a bye following, but you'd think Stevie J, all things being considered, would play in that to say goodbye to his Geelong fans.
It'd be a nice farewell nice for touch. A champion.
You'd be there having a few frothies watching, Bill.
Bloody Ofer will be, and so will he be straight after the belt.
And it would have to have massive broadcast appeal, too.
Oh, yeah, no
with
doubt
the two,
about.
With Dangerfield and Selwood potentially in a close race for the Brownlow medal.
See, his car got pinched, and the cameras were there full of Maccas. Macca's thick shake on the console and
well,
all the back.
Well, they Stevie J, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, they.
Well, you reckon the people that thieved it?
Oh, yeah, they're getting chased by cops all over Sydney. Hang on, we'll pull in and get some Maccas.
Well, they didn't get chased the moment they stole it, Bill, did they?
Yes, they did. They were onto it. That was Stevie.
Oh, they were there waiting for them to steal the car, were they?
His golf clubs back. But also, he's writing a book at the minute, and it was in the back seat.
Ooh.
And it hadn't been checked or unedited, I think you call it. And it was sitting in the back seat. That would have been an interesting read, but they didn't even... I don't know if they couldn't read it or what, but they...
just need to apologise if my old man's listening. I think I said given up a lot good earlier. That's appalling grammar.
he would be disgusted today,
my father. Now, the Bulldogs, are there going to be changes? We understand that Trav Cloak's been seen at the airport, Jay-Z?
Yeah, I think he's in. It is going to be wet tomorrow night, JB, so it might not be great conditions for the big blokes, but Cloak, it looks like, will be in, and Tommy Boyd out. A bit sore in the past couple of days, so I don't think he has made the trip up, and Travis Cloak looks like he's going to get a chance to be back in the side for the Bulldogs against the Swans. But as I said, very wet conditions, I think, Bill.
Well, very, very wet. They had a downpour today and it's going to be soggy tomorrow night. So who wins that if it's wet, Chief?
Not sure the wet makes any difference.
You don't?
Bill, I like the way the Bulldogs are going.
I thought the Swans would be good in the wet.
Mm. What? Why is that?
It's almost sad, isn't it?
Swans,
it's almost sad.
That comes at the end of the segment, you joke, Bill. Yeah,
just warming you up, Chief, with a little zinger. Hey, what about your Hawks?
What about them?
They weren't going to score.
No, I got really concerned. I was so thrilled when they kicked a goal early in the third term. I'm on your guilty. How long are they going to go without kicking one?
You kicked 140 goals one year for them, and they weren't going to kick a goal.
Let me tell you, Port were hot early.
They were.
And the funny thing is they've done that a few times to the Hawks, jumped them and smashed them. They get on a roll, and they can be very difficult to stop. But, look, they're going to have a few performances like that this year, Hawthorn. I don't think it's a great surprise. It's the margin and the lack of competitiveness for periods of games that would be the big concern.
Does he got to play, and no one should tell Clarko what to do, of course. Some of the O'Brien, it might be injured, but Showmakers or kids like that.
He's been playing a lot of the young blokes. A lot of them, Dallas Willsmore's come in, James Cousins the last few weeks, and Burton. Blake Hardwick, and Ryan Burton's going to be a star.
He is.
So they're getting quite a number of those young players through, which is good to see.
We had Luke Hodge in earlier in the week, and he said for about 20 minutes there, the ball never left their forward 50. It was just parked permanently in there, along with 40 players.
And you can see a bit of frustration setting in because a couple of times Hodge is just getting it and trying to kick the big torp.
That's it.
As far out of his area
just
as he can.
Try and get everyone to bugger off. It was extraordinary watching that game, no doubt about it. We need to take a break. I'm going to ask you about pain-killing injections next, Jay-Z, because it's a hot topic.
I used to have eight.
This is the Midweek Rub.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
Listen to the Midweek Rub for AEG Power Tools on Triple M with James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, Jay Clark and Jason Dunst.
Our Chief and Jay-Z, pain-killing injections are in the news. Where do we go as a game with this? I remember talking, Jay-Z, post the 2004 AFL Grand Final when Port Adelaide beat Brisbane, to a Brisbane Lions player who said to me, if you saw our dressing room before the game and you were a punter, you would have had your house on Port Adelaide. He said it was like a shooting gallery. He said there were 45 needles laid out, and he said nearly everyone was having at least one or two pumped into them somewhere or another because we were basically on our last legs. And that was just how footy was, and they're still prevalent. I don't think they're as prevalent these days, Chief, not from what I saw in my time.
Well, I've got to be honest, I reckon... And I have absolutely zero background in the realms of medicine, let's be brutally honest. But I think now that we've seen some of the effects of repeated jabs and the like from 20 or 30 years ago, I think they're a lot less inclined to do so now unless there's a genuine need or something that requires urgent attention.
I know Bill doesn't believe this, but I wasn't in my time as a chairman a room dweller, so I wasn't down there much. But when I was in there every now and then, there was the odd player getting an injection, nothing like those numbers. But still, what needs to be done about it?
Well, I think it's a sort of circumstantial. I mean, Gary Ablett, I don't think Gary Ablett's a big fan of painkillers. Scotty Pendlebury, I don't think he said today, he hasn't had one since 2009.
David Zaharakis?
Yeah, he didn't like the needles. So I think that the medical team are really responsible when it comes to this and are only using them, I guess maybe when it's circumstantial. Like I think if you looked in the Western Bulldogs rooms for the grand final, there might have been a few laid out. Eastern Wood, I think Tommy Liberatore. I think there was a bit of a medical miracle which happened in the grand final last year. But I think it's just generally speaking a timely reminder. I mean, Adam Cooney said he had absolutely heaps and a lot of anti-inflammatories, which then, just raises some questions about gut health, etc. But I think largely speaking, the footy clubs handle this sort of stuff pretty responsibly.
All right, so nothing needs to be done. Just leave it up to the medical staff at the clubs and they do it well enough?
I think so. I mean, if anything, you're recording them, each sort of jab and make sure that it's all going down in the notebook, really, to be able to monitor it.
What happens down the track then when Coons in 5 years can't walk because his knee's busted?
And that is why the AFLPA, I think, are doing a good job trying to, set up this trust to look after players in their retirement. And I think more money is going to them to help look after the
players.
Plus,
the clubs, I think, are much better at making sure the right decisions are made for the player. Sean Higgins is a great example. The meniscus tear last year, I reckon 10 years ago, Chief, they just would have ripped it out and said, 40 years and on, buggy, you can hobble around. Whereas now, you go in, you have it operated on because they've got later in life in mind. All clubs do that. And I think it's brilliant. Nate Fyfe. Not in the best 10 midfielders in the Ducks' opinion.
Dennis Committee said he's not in the top 25, which is a bit of a slap.
25?
Not in the top 25 midfielders or players in the comp?
Yeah, he said the Duck was kind, that Fife wasn't in the best 25 midfielders in the competition. I think the interest is definitely cooled, and it was reported last weekend that St Kilda was definitely out of the race. They're looking more towards Josh Kelly and potentially Dustin Martin, but I think he most certainly re-signs now, Nat Fife, and the $1.5 million offer, which was touted possibly earlier in the season, just ain't coming for him.
Isn't it brilliant how our opinions on people go so high and so low depending on the vein of form that they're in?
Yes.
And he could turn around second half of the season or the next first half of next year and be the number one player in the competition. But now we're calling him poxy, well, too poxy to be in the top 25. Chief,
but that's what we judge at the minute.
Chief.
That's what we do.
If I'm a list manager, I'm striking right now. If his stocks have plummeted, I'm going right now. Whatever you want.
I bet he's not going to get paid like the 25th midfielder in the competition.
No doubt about it. Coming off a knee, a chronic knee for a year, he's only just going to get better and better. Collingwood.
Going to be some changes this week, JB. Midfielder Aish Langdon might come into defence, and Callum Brown, the son of Gavin, might also make his debut. Of course, we saw it the weekend. Tyson Goldsack playing the whole game with a fractured scapula.
Good boy, him.
Seriously courageous.
Wellesley, how long?
They said medium term. I think that's 4 to 6 weeks in Walshy's book. He has a history of calf niggles, Wellesley.
Long history.
Tell us. Jamie Elliott was the other one with his ankle.
Oh, what about Fasolo?
Well, they're waiting to assess him. So they're going to make a call later in the week. He wants to play, but they're going to talk to his medicos later in the week. Outside chance.
Gavin Brown's young bloke playing a similar vein. I've never seen him play the game.
So tough. He was one of the standouts, I thought, over preseason. Like, just repeated attacks on the football, straight under the bottom of the pack. He's only a small lad, but, geez, he goes at the footy hard.
Yeah, what about the boy that kicked six last week? Kyle.
Kale Kirby.
What's his name?
Kale Kirby. Freakish.
Kale Kirby.
Freakish goal-kicking talent. Kicks him from the boundary, takes hangers, all that sort of stuff. But just sort of got to drop maybe a couple more kilos, Bill. His GPS numbers are pretty good. But
defensive-wise?
Yeah, it's a bit some gaps. So when he came into the system, he had a bit of work to do, and the discipline and rigour of the AFL system. Still testing him out a little bit, but he can kick a snag, that's for sure.
So Jeremy Govan went through that, didn't he? Remember he got sent away because he had a bit too much put? And,
He took after his old man. Tell us this, Chief. I'm putting Guts McGovern. State of Origin football. Never again. What are we doing with it?
I wouldn't have thought. That reminds me. Are you a slap?
Oh, yes. Now, Agent Chaos
Before we do that, State of Origin football.
It just reminded me when he said State of Origin.
Yeah, sure. You were trying to hide your little...
I just brought it up, you dick.
Your dick. You're a little sneaky.
How can I be hiding it if I just actually brought it up?
Oh, Heidi. Good
question. In AFL, no. I just can't see it happening. Where the game is. No. I just brought it up, Bill.
Agent Chaos just sent through. Make sure you get into the Chief because New South Wales smashed. Oh, ordinary, weren't you? The old cane toads.
That's terrible.
No, from the start, Chief.
I was hanging on to false hope very early, Bill.
And you
said. But I'll always back for
him. I don't know if you will support him. The text you'll send it through early.
Oh,
well, you're going to pick a whole new side.
What's your choice of ale?
Carlton Dry.
Dry.
I'm just changing up a bit, Tim.
What are you on about?
Well, Carlton Dry's all right. That's nice with a touch of
lemon. That is like taking coal to Newcastle, giving Bill beer.
Well, it's better than red wine. People give you red wine.
Oh, beautiful. Hand it over to me. Jay-Z, your final thoughts on State of Origin football?
I think maybe in the preseason, potentially. That'd be the only chance. I mean, in season, it's just not going to get up, I don't think. Certainly not before finals. Maybe in sort of early March.
All right. Well done.
And the beat test is gone, Chief. You would have done that. What did you ever get in the beat test?
10.8, I think, was my best ever.
It's not very good.
Oh, it's terrible. But all the players used to breathe a sigh of relief because I'd always be the first out. And they'd be dying to see me drop off.
Blew up, did you, Chief?
I always made sure I got a double figures.
Yeah, well done. Good work.
All right, Bridge Duclos, your old mate, yes. Chief. Very beautiful lady, Bridge. She's in tomorrow.
Rachel, Bridge.
Back from the UK where she was speaking at a sister's wedding, so we're hoping she's got some audio of that. And Damien Barrett, big show tomorrow. All right, something humorous, Bill?
Yes, Chief.
This is Billy's joke.
What do you mean, this is Billy's joke? What happened to the sponsor?
Just no sponsor at the minute, Chief.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no sponsor.
Oh, no. Gee, that comes as a surprise.
Oh! Would you like to sponsor a Chief?
Oh,
no sponsor,
well,
Chief.
Someone finally worked out they were throwing money hand over fist down the toilet.
Chief,
Bill,
my stepmother came to me and demanded that I take off her clothes.
Oh, no.
So I took off her blouse.
I don't like where this is going.
At all.
She said, now off with the skirt. I did. And she continued, now take off my stockings.
I know where he's wearing.
Oh, no. And when I did that, she said, now the bra and the undies. I took them off. She continued, now don't you ever let me catch you wearing my stuff again. Jakey, do you like that? Look at him. Do you know the bearded warrior? Chief, yeah. Any smile at all? That's not bad.
No, that's horrendous.
That's no good.
Chief. Get stuff, Jay-Z. Don't you jump on board.
Chief, the thing is even a bad joke, like the great Peter Allen, used to be able to even tell a bad joke and make it funny with beautiful delivery.
Correct.
Peter Allen.
Whereas Chief, Bill, slaughters a good, gives a good joke no chance. So where does that leave the bad ones?
Which Peter Allen? Unlistenable. Which Peter Allen?
Peter Allen.
The old, was it Peter Allen? He used to
call Australia home.
No, the British comedian.
Oh, Dave Allen.
Dave Allen.
The three fingers.
Well said, yes. Dave Allen. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So there you go, Bill. Is in the delivery. Well,
get the name right, Dick.
Oh. He just stole my word now.
He did.
Because he got called a dick.
You got called a dick, so you're calling me a dick. Sick.
And I want my slab too, fat boy.
Chief, go around and clip him.
Look at
him.
Jay-Z.
Look at him. He's having a put off.
Yes. Great seeing you, Jay-Z. Oh, no, thanks for that.
Thanks, Jay-Z.
Chief, always good
Robert.
To see you.
Oh, no.
Look at Bill. Infatuated with Jay-Z's put.
Look at that boy.
Just wait.
Come on.
Slam. New South Wales. Too good. Sucked in, Chief Ace. You know why?
Question,
I didn't make it.
Why?
Because he's a soft cop.
That was the Rush Hour catch-up.
Finish up the night, Bill.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.